Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. Hey, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace makes it easier than ever to launch your passion project, whether you're showcasing your work or selling products of any kind. With beautiful templates and the ability to customize just about anything, you can make a beautiful website yourself. How many times have I told you this? I've created multiple websites on Squarespace. Check them out. PaulScheer.com, HDTGMinfo.com, UnspooledPod.com. Why do I keep on going back to Squarespace? Because they have beautiful templates, and award-winning 24/7 customer service. Head on over to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
One day, I hope to be as confident as the person who said, you know who would be a great leading man in a romantic comedy? Pavarotti. We saw Yes, Giorgio, and you know what that means.
Remix. How did Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Barnes. Looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. And hello, people of Brooklyn. We are live at BAM! Holy shit! This is insane! Very excited to be here tonight to talk about Yes, Giorgio. You know, for those of you who don't know, Pavarotti performed on this very stage. That is not true, but it sounds really good though, right? He could have. He technically could have. Tonight, we are going to dissect a movie that makes no sense. Like, when people go like, oh, maybe the Matrix slipped up, this is like where it happened. Like, I remember Bernstein Bears was Bernstein Bears. This is like, Pavarotti was in a movie, was he? No, yes. Something happened here. But to do this film justice, we are going to do it with my two favorite people. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How we doing, Brooklyn? Oh, guys, it is happening.
It is amazing.
If you told me this movie had been made by Kim Jong-il, I would believe you. This was horrible to watch. This felt like a crime was being committed against me. I watched it on a fuzzy YouTube link and got a headache. Thanks a lot, assholes. I did that for you, you fucking turds.
I will say this. If you have not watched the movie yet, you can go right now onto our Twitter page.
And open it right now.
The great Peter, the S-Man, Scudacy, he cut out all the non-important singing and lobbed off over 30 minutes of this movie.
I have never fast-forwarded as much as I did during this movie and was shocked because the button advances 30 seconds at a time. I didn't watch it all. I think they're in that hot air balloon for 21 minutes. I'm not even kidding. I think they're in the hot air balloon for 21 minutes.
Jason, I will ask you this. What did you think of his breath control?
Really impressive.
Really impressive.
Really impressive. But he couldn't make his face do anything other than make beautiful music come out of it. Everything else was very stiff.
I have a lot to say about the
Do you know three-quarters of this movie were shot with a Pavarotti standing? Just a big cardboard cutout of Pavarotti.
I would believe you if you said they had a life-size Weeble Wobble that just had a goatee on it. Just smiling. Ay, ay, ay,
and it's true. Ay, ay, it's true ay, because ay. We never did see him fall down.
Someone who loves a romance is also here to chat about the movie tonight. Please welcome June Diane Raphael.
Oh boy.
Oh, no.
Welcome, June.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for asking. First thoughts, impressions of Yes, Giorgio.
So I was listening to you guys backstage talk about the quality, watching it on YouTube, or we watched it, I think, on Vimeo, and Pavarotti's performance. If you can call it that. So there were several times, because we watched it on a link, where his face was pixelated, and I thought, oh, once this clears up, I'm going to get something. But I never did.
This movie had the same quality as Hercules in New York.
100%.
That level of a movie, and yet this movie has pieces and parts that are shot like in Italy, on vineyards, in beautiful places.
A $19 million budget.
What?
$19 million
to be
in
fair,
1982.
To be fair, $18 million of that was in the food fight.
I only want to use real pies.
And the blocking of this scene is, you're wandering around with two cream pies. You spot a ladder, and you're like, I'm going to go up this ladder. Is there a shelf up there? No.
It drove me bonkers.
What am I doing with them? Why am I bringing both pies up a ladder? Now what? When I get to the top, what next?
And here's a little thing, because I know you guys are all chefs out there. They're cream pies. They don't have to cool.
Yeah.
I thought you was looking for a shelf to cool the pie.
And you know what? I'm just finding this out right now that you guys are all chefs out there. Didn't know that. I didn't know we had some sort of all-chef audience in Brooklyn.
Well,
it makes sense because this place is full of fucking restaurants, but like, cool it, chefs.
Everyone here has brought their own knives, and this is, hands down, a bizarre film.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Flay! No, you don't want it? Oh, okay. Sorry, he doesn't want to.
He likes to watch it from backstage.
Like a creep.
I appreciated that they did not show a ton of physical contact between... I thought that that was kind, and I appreciated it.
Between the married Pavarotti and his young mistress? This is a movie! The romantic storyline is one of an adulterous fling. Yeah. We're supposed to buy into...
He is the father of children, too.
And he's
small
married
children.
To a woman, and he said, my business is my business. What?
He said...
And we're like, cool with
business,
that?
My business is personal, but your children are not? Like, listen to this clip, because it is worth
it. Wait, before you start it, also could be an episode of Gilligan's Island. Right there. Could be. Where Gilligan is like eating too many coconuts.
This movie just to talk about the cinematography, is shot terribly. It is like a moderately well-shot General Hospital. It's like, but here, so this is a bomb.
Stop trying to use the show to get on General Hospital.
I need to get on, please. I'll sell out anyone, just like Bobo. All right, so here, here's the thing. Just for context, Pavarotti reveals he's married
40 minutes in.
Yeah.
40 minutes in is when he says he is married. Happily married.
Sophia or Sonia.
All right.
Carla, I think.
It's all the same.
Oh, wow. Okay, Italian people. Sophia or Sonia, barf.
June picked this episode to come out against Italy.
And he's just taking a lover, and that's the movie we're watching.
I mean, this is honestly what the Nanette special was about, which is prioritizing men's talent over women's humanity, because that's what I saw here.
All right, so let's just watch how he drops this bomb, one of many bombs on her of truth. Here we go.
Ticket to San Francisco.
Si. Come, carissimo. The plane leaves in 45 minutes.
Oh, no, thank you. It's a very generous offer. The nicest I've had all day.
Can you push pause for one second? Yes, she's talking to him like he's a straight-up moron. She's talking to him with, like, the words, do you understand? I can't. Very generous. Boy, what?
But don't you think that Pavarotti's whole attitude is reading facial cues? Yeah. Like, his acting style is like, yes, I am not mad, happy.
Like the director is off stage holding up, like, frowny face. Happy face.
Ah, you need to get watered like a plant. That's a sexy thing to say to women.
Well, but wait, does he say that in the movie?
Yes.
Oh, I missed
right
that.
Right about here.
Do you think that's where Harvey Weinstein got it? Kaboom! That's right. That's right. That's right. Harvey Weinstein comes in plants.
And we return to Yes, Giorgio.
You're a married man with two children.
And I love my wife and my family, and we have a wonderful life together, but my private life is my own.
His private life is technically his wife and children, I would argue.
So he's like, you're either up for being my side piece, also I'm still Pavarotti, or not, and we can just roll end credits now.
The craziest thing is that she is up for it.
As a matter
more than up for it.
It's as a matter of fact, wild.
Like, yeah, she is like, she works him, really. He falls in love with, well, because he's like, he says.
How so?
Well, because he says to her, I love you. And then he blows her a kiss when he's performing at the Met, and she's like, peace. And she leaves because she agreed never to fall in love with him. And she walked out.
She tells him she fell in love with him.
But then she leaves.
And he's like mad. He's pissed.
Right.
He's pissed at her that she falls in love with this slob.
So here's the thing, though, Paul. Yes. I would say that that's the story. If she showed any interest in opera before this, if her intention from the beginning was to get him to perform at the Met.
Right.
Because, by the way, something terrible happened at the Met.
There was
some sort of
thing
stage
that
accident?
Ever happened. My sword fell out of its sword. I fell backwards.
Did it sound to you like his sword had flown out of his
yes.
scabbard and had stabbed a woman, the other thing? The way he told it.
Okay, I
it
do have that like question. Did been, someone perish?
That's what
was
I thought.
It that
I was like,
bad?
Oh, if I'm the Met, I wouldn't invite this murderer back either. Also, he seems like he's like a stone cold creep. Who's just trying to like perv out on all the ladies?
Oh, for sure. When he shows up at her window, it was one of the scariest shots in cinema I have ever seen.
Please,
honestly, though,
terrifying.
Honestly, and I read this on Wikipedia, and if I didn't, I'm sure it'll be there soon. The Melissa Etheridge song "Come to My Window"
was based
on this scene of this movie. Again, I only have read this on Wikipedia.
Okay. Your theory that she is ultimately playing him and has the upper hand and it's a long game, I guess, for him to get to perform at the Met would make sense if she had any history with opera or if she cared about it on any level.
Like they had any chemistry at all. I don't know.
Apparently, the most chemistry we have is off camera when they're fucking for
all night long.
Hours.
I'm not kidding. 24 hours.
It almost kills the couple who are preparing their food. So you would have to assume Pavarotti's dead at the end of this. There's no way he survives this much lovemaking.
I mean, I really feel like you don't even see a kiss in this movie.
You see one, because I was waiting for it and bracing for it. And you see one. Now, this is what I'll say about him. And, you know, look, I like a bigger boy. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I like a bigger boy.
News to me.
Okay.
I also like that you just called Pavarotti a boy.
He's a child.
This makes a lot of sense as to why you were feeding Paul a stick of butter
backstage. I always get concerned when he loses too much weight. But I
just,
found
like,
him.
Just secretly feeding him at night.
You keep on telling me that Twix bars are vitamins.
Are you sure these healthy shakes are healthy? I think this is just a Dairy Queen Blizzard.
No, the Oreos are—they're good for you. It's a vitamin of some kind.
I found his physique, and again, I like a bigger boy.
Really,
I found because it really has nothing to do with how he looked, but I found him to be distasteful. But I will say this, and I was always curious, like, if you brushed out his hair, because it was in all sorts of different shapes and rhymes and riddles and rub-rub-a-dub, but if you brushed it out, like, what are we working with? What is the...
I'm just trying to get a nice shot of his hair, yeah.
He's like...
If you just brushed it out, what would it look like?
You know what he is? He's like a little circle on a big circle. He's like a very rudimentary drawing of a man. Like, well, little
that's
circle.
Exactly right.
Little circle on big circle and legs.
But legs are so tiny because when he's playing tennis, which he's never played tennis. Pavarotti is not going out to play tennis. I thought that was cruel and unusual punishment for him. But his legs are skinny. And I was like, what is up with this body? Like,
and
I don't
he's
get
also,
it.
But it's also about his face. Because it's what you're saying, Jason. If I or my toddler drew man, the eyes would look exactly the same. The face would look exactly the same.
Well, I mean, there has been a pervasive rumor that he's a child's drawing brought to life through
magic. When Giorgio becomes, when he enters the Met and starts performing, when he wore that eyeliner and his hair was slicked back,
ooh.
Look, I preferred that look.
I wrote that down.
I preferred that look.
I wrote that down too. I said,
so you want him to opera He did not Pavarotti. Look half bad.
Opera Pavarotti is
a lot better.
It looks a lot better. I'll pull up a little picture of him.
You guys are shockingly in agreement about this. A lot is starting to make sense.
Opera Pavarotti's got it going on.
Well, I think it helps when he looks like he's in the past. You know, when I'm like, if I said to you, oh, this is a picture of a king from the 16th century, you'd be like, yep, looks about right. But when you put him in, like, modern clothes, you're like, uh-oh, what happened here?
Yeah.
Too many hats, too many scarves. Shouldn't have gotten on a hot air balloon.
I mean, that was wild.
First of all, I just want to talk about...
First of all? We're like many minutes into the show. We've covered stuff.
I don't remember...
Are we editing from now? Did the show just start?
I don't remember a thing. I think if you're writing this movie, you go, okay, Pavarotti falls in love
with a doctor. And you know, this is an important doctor, and he's an important opera singer, but they couldn't have had lower stakes at her job. She's performing tonsillectomies to sassy kids who are fat-shaming Pavarotti. Like, and she seemingly takes off a week without a problem. Like, you know, but it's like...
She just,
but,
what are you talking about? She just switched vacation weeks. Her own patients be damned.
But why also were all the patients in one room?
It's like a Dickens hospital. And I'm also thinking, if I was like a really sick kid in another ward, I'd be like, what? He came, Giorgio Feeney came to that one? Those kids are just getting tonsillectomies. They're getting ice cream. Come over to me. Come on. Yeah, I feel like it was an unfair performance.
Yeah, I felt like it was, I felt like when we cut to that hospital, it was like the worst episode of Grey's Anatomy. It just seemed sad. She also seemed to always be about to perform surgery.
Always.
Even though she was just in and amongst the kids.
And listen, I don't remember what the scrubs looked like at that time, but it did seem she was in a scrub dress.
Well,
like,
as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. By the way, into this.
No, it looked great, but it was a form-fitting bodycon.
It is like a...
scrub dress.
It is a wrap dress. It is like a Diane von Furstenberg wrap dress with a smart bow in the back and slippers, question mark?
Well, great.
I want to talk about the slippers because she's operating in sandals because her heel is clearly out. It is just out, like, she's not in shoes, not on her feet that much. She's like, I'll just put these on my sandals.
Oh, I'm just wearing my surgery flip-flops.
And was
she... is this the 70s, right?
Yeah. No, 82.
82?
Yeah.
Wow. That's depressing.
Oh, my gosh. I also find this concept flawed because I lived in New York City for many years.
Brag.
No big deal. I've never seen such a rapturous attention to an opera star. Like, where he went, the streets were lined with people. I saw Nicole Kidman on the street
Pavarotti
one time.
Is
no one was
beloved,
even out.
You know, but at this across time, the he world. Was,
at I, this time, he is like a big to-do, but yeah, I agree with you. It seemed as though the city was much more obsessed with opera than it is.
Yes. I mean, to a point that he performs seemingly like a concert in the park during the day, which I think all concerts
Wait,
in the
I
park...
I think that's in Boston, though.
Oh, okay.
That's in Boston. Shouts to Boston, baby.
Well, listen, so I'm not...
That's, now you know where they are, New Yorkers. Fight them.
I
will reveal
you
myself...
You dummies, you fell for it.
I will reveal myself. Before this film, I mean, I haven't been a huge opera fan. I haven't, but I don't know enough about it, the art form in general. And I've always thought that's for something later in life, like retirement. That's when I'll get into that. But the danger in this movie is after watching this, I feel like now I'm someone who identifies as not liking opera. Like that's who I am. I don't like it. Well, and I don't think he sounded good.
Let's let you be the judge. Here we go. We can... Give you a little. We're not.
Oh, we had to do this, so you will too, sir.
By the way, as someone online pointed out, they get up in the middle of the opera to give him a standing ovation. That doesn't happen.
I would like it, by the way, if you guys would start giving us standing ovations in the middle of the show. Yeah. That would be pretty cool. No.
Unprompted.
Not now, spontaneously later.
You have to find
Otherwise,
the moment.
Otherwise, it seems cheap now if you just do it.
So,
so she leaves. That's the end of the movie. That's him. He finally gets to play the Met, and he does it right. The dragon doesn't eat him. And she...
If you told me that a dragon would eat Pavarotti in this movie, I could get the fuck out of here.
Or I'd be like, great. Then there's an ending that's worthwhile.
The crazy thing about his experience at the Met and the stakes is that they're just sort of, it seems so happenstance. Like that dragon that fell on him at the dress rehearsal, it just seemed like a random, he didn't do anything to cause it. No. It just seemed like one of the stagehands
had it out for him.
Well,
yeah, the guy comes up to the other guy and he's like, what's up with the dragon? He's like, I got it. Don't worry. I'm going to fix it.
And I mean, you would argue that his big mistake at the Met originally also was not his fault. He couldn't get his sword out of the scabbard, and then...
Costumes.
And then, again, props comes into play here, because then the blade separated from the handlebar. So it seemed like a lot of happenstance happened to him. It wasn't like he performed so badly, which would have been better story-wise to say, I performed the opera and I lost my voice. I got nervous. I did a thing.
That's interesting.
You know?
Then he has something to get over.
Like, yes.
That idea of her helping him overcome a psychological issue to triumph. There's a story there that we could examine, sure. But this is like nonsense.
So why is he losing his voice? Because he does sing.
Because he's nervous.
So we're to assume that every time the Met is brought up, he loses his voice?
I believe so, yes.
But this is also...
That is true.
But this is also a man who is so unnervous, is that a word? Is so not nervous that when he drives through Italy, he will get out of his car, like will stand in his car like the Pope and sing.
He will also sing
in a hot air balloon.
I feel like the stakes are low there. I think like when it's like the Met,
yes,
it's like too important.
It's when he falls apart.
And so that's why he can go and perform in Boston. Or San Francisco. or any of these other cities that we see him do full arias in all over the country while they are just having some sort of fuck fest 82.
I mean, basically,
if we are, like, they order oysters at midnight.
To keep it
going. Nobody should have them.
Here's why I did buy it. His art form is all about breath control and stamina and sort of physically controlling that body.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
I understand why you made me wear that Pavarotti mask.
I got concerned you seemed to be entering a reverie.
I did believe that he'd last the whole night long. Whatever you're going to say about Pavarotti and Giorgio, you cannot dismiss this. He has physical stamina.
But
he does!
But I will then also go,
Where do you see it evidenced?
Because he's an opera singer. Absolute control over their lungs and their breath and their body.
Oh,
is there a grosser way...
Their lungs
way?
And breath, though? I don't know where that's coming into effect in the bedroom. You should have seen it. He got naked and he had the biggest lungs I've ever seen. He climbed on top of me and his breath control made me come so hard.
I mean, the
and
movie...
And you know... Not only he's, you know, I couldn't wait to get my hands on his big circle.
So many circles.
Oh, and his lungs. Holy shit.
Many circles.
People, do you want to turn your dream into reality? Well, let me tell you, the best way to do that is not by working hard. It's by logging into Squarespace. That's right. Take that idea that you want and make a firm implant into the information superhighway by telling people, hey, this is me, this is my idea. Control the narrative, people, whether you have a store, whether you have a portfolio, whether you have a blog, anything at all, Squarespace is there to help you create something that is nice to look at on phones, iPads, computers, whatever it is. Plus, they're there to help you out 24/7. It is the place to go if you need to create something to get online with. And I've always said this, if you're out there in that dating world, create a website so people can Google that and look at it. Control the information, people. Head on over to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. And when ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. Offer code bonkers.
I would argue they missed a great moment, though, because... I mean, when he came, he didn't cut to an exterior of the house. Or, oh, like that would have been a great
scene. Sitting right there.
They didn't do that.
I mean, it should have been there. Can I just talk about this scene? Because, like, you go, oh, an opera singer. They're probably so amazing at singing everything. This movie disproves that when he sings "I Left My Heart in San Francisco." I've never seen someone more stiff. Like his body, his body is frozen. As he sings, here we go. He's holding like he holds the mic, the mic cord. Here we go.
By the way, beautiful location.
In San Francisco, I heard a hymn. It goes to me.
I feel like he's looking at a bouncing ball. A bouncing ball sing-along.
He's nodding his head like a horse doing math.
It is like somewhere Tony Bennett is like, you fucking asshole. I will fuck you up, bro. I'm Tony Bennett. That's my song.
He also loses his voice like it is a mute button. He's like, no voice. Like, look. I'm no lady doctor, but I don't think it works like that.
I had a question. Okay, so in the beginning, when she comes to have dinner with him after the show, right? And she's like, she leaves in a huff because she's like, you people don't live like this. This is preposterous. We're the only ones here. This is stupid. Blah, 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 blah. He pulls out a button. He puts like a tiny doorbell on the table. And then he's like, buzz. And a dude walks in, right? Dude walks in and he's like, do-do-do-do-do, okay. And he goes, you can escort the doctor out. And she goes, no, I'm okay. I'll leave on my own. She leaves and he goes, and this guy sits down. The guy who was supposed to escort her out becomes his dinner companion? What the fuck is happening in this movie? That's not how it works. You don't just then eat with, like, this schmo. What is this?
Dude, read the Johnny Depp Rolling Stone article. Sometimes you just have to hang out with the people that you pay.
Oh, man.
By the way, there's a great line in this movie talking about eating food, and there's a lot of food eating. The two horribly stereotypical people who work in the kitchen, but they go, oh, he's a member of the Clean Plate Club. Like when he...
As if they're shocked.
But also, as if anyone uses that outside...
He's a member of the Clean House Club.
As if anyone uses that term outside of like dealing with like a four-year-old. Like,
wait, what do you mean? I use it all the time.
Oh, no.
I use it. I say, look, well, Jason, looks like you're a member of the Clean Plate Club.
And your house is full of just plates that you ate off of.
Do 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 do. Guys, I'm living my best life. Also, it was a cereal bowl. That was dinner.
Here's what I'm wondering.
Chefs, get to cooking.
Yes, chefs.
Does he ask her one question the entire movie? Just one.
Yes.
Just an inquiry.
Yes. Actually,
just who am I sitting with?
Actually, he asks her one question. Don't fall in love with me. ?
That's a statement.
He is uninterested. So uninterested in who she is.
No, he's not a curious man.
No. Did anybody else think he might fuck that nun in the Rolls Royce? I was like, I don't know what this dude's up to. See, Sergio, let's do this. Giorgio, not Sergio. Oh, now I did it. That's right, Italians.
There's the nun. I will say, watching this movie and knowing how, like, apparently...
If you told me that was Michael Gambon, I would believe you.
The nun, of course.
The great thing about this nun, though,
not my Dumbledore.
Is she is with, when he picks her up on the side of the road, because we're establishing his character, he's a nice person. She is the oldest in that crew of nuns, yeah. And is the one fixing the tire.
I want to just posit one thing to you. Yes, we're establishing he's a nice guy, but he does not move a fucking muscle in that car. He's sitting like he's in a Lazy Boy, like, pull over. And then he just sits there like, you want a ride? But never, barely his head tilts to look at the nun. He's like, like a normal person, like, oh my gosh, how you guys, okay, yeah, what do you need? Come my car. He sits like, oh, I can't move.
He's basically treated like the Pope in Italy.
Yeah.
He's riding around in a special car. He is like, people are following him out of the village. He is like a beloved figure. And why not help the other nuns?
No.
Yeah. They are abandoned with a broken car at the side of the road.
Yeah.
There's enough room.
In also, like, it looked like the dead sun heat of the day. Like, it looked hot and, yeah, they shouldn't have been left alone there. But circle on circle on circles.
Circle on circle covered with hats and scarves. By the way, a couple of things about Pavarotti. He was apparently very difficult on this movie. They would say, no, Giorgio, no. That would be a lot of the crew's responses to things. He refused to work past 8 p.m. on any given day.
I respect that.
And by the way, here's an interesting thing about this movie. It is written by the co-writer of Blazing Saddles and My Favorite Year. Right? And it was based on a book. It was like, this is a passion. I mean, this is like, yes, we got to get
I'm not saying there's no story here that couldn't have worked in a better telling. You know what I mean? I have a real crazy problem with the fact that, again, he's a married man.
Who two has children.
No intention. His arc is, I only want to fuck you. Uh-oh, I'm in love with you. But I am never not going to be married to Carla.
Yeah.
So you're either cool with this being what it is, like when I'm in America, we just stone cold blast brains
to
out.
To me, I feel like Giorgio would never come back to her.
Really?
Yep.
You think he's like a one and done on this one?
Absolutely.
And you don't chalk any of this up to, you know, the Italian lifestyle? And
what's
just
that?
Like cultural differences and
that.
Just like more wow. open views oh on sex and sexuality. Oh and
uh-oh. Well, apparently, I mean, Pavarotti was a womanizer. I think he left his wife at a certain point for his assistant, which he openly had a child with. So like he was living this life in real life. Yeah. To me, I think if they make a sequel, he would come back to the young the doctors. Like, what was he like? What was it like to fuck him? Like that doctor.
Wait, what? It was so creepy.
Yeah, when Murray goes,
wait,
goes,
who's that character?
That doctor.
Who's her, the character the saying, other, what was it like to fuck
that,
him?
That doctor.
Oh, the other doctor.
The other doctor.
Other doctor?
Who was like, tell me everything. What was it like to be with him? Like, ugh. Like, it was a weird moment that he was like asking for, like, spill the tea, girlfriend. Like, what's up?
Wait, spill.
Talk about that Pavarotti
D. Girlfriend? Spill, okay, I just want to just real quick examine the phrase spill the tea girlfriend.
What's up?
What's this?
Up, yeah.
What tea is this? Is
spill
this
tea,
like
bro.
Hot it's tea, true. Sweet tea?
Hey man,
spill
get with
the
time.
Tea, girlfriend.
Get with the time, bro.
Is that
that
like
doctor a... was thirsty, am I right?
Is that like a Twitter thing? Spill the tea, girlfriend.
Yeah, spill
Let's
the tea.
Let's hashtag that, guys.
You ever see, like, Kermit the Frog drinking the tea?
No.
Oh.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah.
How often do you see Kermit the Frog drinking tea? That's not a thing, Paul. Kermit the Frog.
Is it a thing? RuPaul has a podcast called What's the Tea?
Okay. All right. Okay.
Spilling the tea is a thing.
Okay. Okay.
Brooklyn, I think you're
enjoying
right,
it.
Though.
I'm enjoying it.
I think that most people are walking around hoping they never hear about Pavarotti's sex life. So it is a stretch to believe, you know, people want to get in on that. You know, they want to know about circles.
Her transformation from like thinking he's like an entitled jackass to being like, I flew here to San Francisco to fuck.
Drove. Yeah, please.
Jesus.
Guys, you want to be right.
Okay. So she drove like that astronaut wearing a diaper style. She drove. Keep in mind, she's from Boston. She drove from Boston to get to San Francisco to see him perform.
After seeing a performance of him on TV, which means that his performances are televised like sports games. Like, oh, yeah, with Pavarotti's on tonight. Yeah, it's a live performance of Pavarotti. Or Giorgio Fini. Sorry.
She must have done that drive. Here's the thing. If they had shown any bit of that drive, you would have lost faith in her character entirely. Because it would have just been her doing like trucker speed, like wearing diapers, being like, I gotta get there. She had to have driven cross country in like 2.5 days.
I realized I had a June moment here in my notes. I wrote down, is opera hard?
Like, do you think you could do it?
I wasn't like, I can do it, but I was like, how tough is it? Probably very. I apologize to anyone listening in here that are opera singers.
I can only assume that someone is going to do a... Flawless.
Do you think... Okay, here's a question. That was really good.
That was Paul.
That was really
Paul,
good.
That was really good.
That was not a sound clip. Thank you. Thank you. Standing ovation.
Oh, guys. Greg, we fucking
But don't leave. Don't leave.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
See, didn't
this
that feel
is
great?
Why New York is the fucking best.
You know what? New York gets a callback. They know what they're up to.
Do you think if he was performing this role of Giorgio in his native tongue, that we would have gotten a different performance?
Yes. I think he would have been 100% more charismatic. I think he was so stilted because he was working. He also had lines that were, like, nonsense. Like, some of the lines in the movie, either he never said them right, so they had to use what he said, or, as scripted, it was like a jumble of nouns and verbs.
I mean, it was shocking to me that they gave him monologues.
Yeah.
I mean, just shocking.
I want to talk about just the pace of this movie. I wrote down, I've never noticed transitions between scenes before, and this is the first time I was like, oh, wow, I guess that they're harder than they look. Because we would jump to moments, it's like, oh, they're there now? He literally says, I don't perform all this week, then they go to the house, and then he performs the next night. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know what's happening. But there is a...
How much time do you think passes in this movie?
Great question.
I would say not more than a week.
6 months?
No, oh, not that long.
A week?
I think about a week.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, think about this.
He arrives in America.
In
yes.
He arrives in Boston. He performs. He goes to San Francisco. He performs.
And
he's
relaxes.
Off for a week.
He's off for a week.
But he performs in that week.
Taking his mistress to his friend's houses to hang. And they're like, where's Carla? And he's like, mom, what? Have you met this woman? She's the manager's niece. Yeah, wink, wink. It is, like, not cool. I like that they put it in there, though, that family that he goes, the Vineyard family, is kind of like, what the fuck is going on? And then hard cut to tennis. And everyone's watching them play tennis. Everybody in the family is like watching them play tennis.
I mean, if you told me Pavarotti's outside playing tennis, I'd run outside.
I'd like to see it. Now, do you think that this is the first mistress he's taken?
No, somebody says that this is always happening.
Yeah.
But by the way, the manager of this also reminded me of the manager of Rad. He was like, I do BMX and Pavarotti. Yeah. Those are my two. I want to talk about this phrase right after the tennis scene because, just break it down, here we go.
The woman should never make the man look like he wear the skirt in front of his amici.
A woman should never make a man look like he's a skirt in front of his amici.
Like he wears a skirt. Like he wears a skirt, I think.
I thought, is an amici like a slang for
friends.
A dick?
No, friends.
Oh.
It's basically like, you as the woman should never make me feel like I'm wearing a skirt in front of my friends. You've made me the woman in front of my friends, I think is what he's saying.
Got it.
By beating him in sport, again, he's a small ball on a big ball. He's not, and she is like a fit person.
Is
young.
Do you think there's a deleted scene where she may have hit the ball that thought his head was a ball and tried to like...
Why possibly? Look at the breadth of his back.
That's where his vocal power comes from.
Is this the kind of big boy that you like?
At one point...
I mean, come on.
At one point in the scene, what people are reacting to right now is he has dwarfed her. He looks like the volcano from that Pixar short about the volcano.
This is what you would do to trick people into thinking the whole thing was one shot. You would just go into the deep, lush blue back. He is taking it. The cameraman must have been like, I should be back a little bit. I'm losing her entirely. His body is eclipsing the other actor. And the director was like, go with it. It's better to just be on his back.
Oh my goodness.
This is some next level nonsense.
The food fight.
Okay.
I like the
this. I have a lot to talk
okay.
about.
Okay.
Now listen, again, I think that they are. I found the food fight, although very strange. Very strange. I was also relieved that it wasn't a sexual scene.
Well, I was.
So I was gonna say, uncomfortable and grateful at the same
time.
This
is like the anti 9.5 week scene. Because the food being used is so, like, disgusting. And also so inorganic, the way that, like, it's happening and unfolding.
She walks across the room slowly with eggs.
And he's standing there like this.
What are you going to do with the eggs?
And she puts eggs in his shirt in the front, and he's like... And I'm like, is this guy a moron? Like, what's going on? Where does he think this is going? He's like... He's looking at her the way you might look at someone, as if to say, oh, I don't understand what you're saying because I don't speak English very well. But she's not speaking English. She's doing very deliberate actions, the outcome of which we can all see very plainly.
Do you think he got excited to eat eggs? Oh, eggs.
Maybe
eggs.
Some
oh,
of
I love
his,
eggs.
Yeah, oh, I love. Maybe she's going to come and feed me these eggs.
I like to eat these eggs.
But honestly, I didn't like how many eggs were in the movie.
This movie could have killed you.
I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel safe in this part of the movie. I had an EpiPen. I did an EpiPen.
June, did this remind you of how you and I met?
Oh, boy.
Our giant food fight in the kitchen. But I wrote down,
Wait, is there a story there?
No, there's none. I just...
Oh.
When he sits on the pie, because this, not to return to my favorite thing, but she's got the double cream pie, right? And she goes up the ladder, down her choreography. Watch, will you please? Her
choreography. I wish I had it. I don't have it.
It's
like,
Paul.
She goes up the ladder, and he's like, I need the cheese. And she's like, he's such a fucking baby, right? She can't be like, oh, I'm doing whatever one would do at the top of a ladder with two cream pies, but okay. Doo-doo-doo, she comes back down, and then she's like, they're in a kitchen. She doesn't know where to put the cream pies. And one, she just very obviously puts on a stool.
Right.
And the camera's like, wow. Camera is acting like, can you believe this pie is where people sit?
I will say that what I found most disturbing is he sits in those cream pies and has no reaction to them.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what was disturbed me about that moment.
That he must feel like a wet bottom is a normal feeling.
I'm going to say something. I'm actually not going to say it.
This, the physicality of this scene.
Up, up, up.
So where is she going to put these?
Up.
What? Where is she putting them?
Down.
Why are they not even open?
Look at how much empty space. Okay, one can go there, but what about this?
Other counters.
Pasta. Okay, I'll put this here. Great.
Okay.
That pasta shot was fucking erotic.
By the way, tons of room on that tray on the lower shelf.
Yes.
I will say, I don't know if you guys heard this. I'm not happy about sharing this with you, but I'm going to share it with you. Because when he sat on that cream pie and he didn't react,
sure.
I was like, isn't there a story about like Pavarotti sitting on a dog? And like and then I Googled it. It's a Snopes story. It's not true. But I had heard as a kid that he sat on his own dog and didn't realize it. And then I was like,
the dog?
What?
And he killed the dog?
Yeah. But wow. It's not true. It's not a true story.
I wonder if this pie is the genesis of that lie.
Yeah, it could have been.
But what's so weird about that is, like, if he knows about that story, then Pavarotti is okay with making light of that or leaning into that idea that
well,
he could
kill. Well, maybe he was like,
you
know what people are going to want to see? Me kill something with my butt.
Well, that's
if
why...
If we're doing a comedy...
We can make it a pie, Pavarotti, if we must.
That's why
but
I thought
I
it was...
But I still would pitch a bird of some sort.
I thought it was weird when he sat on the pie and went, oof!
And then he didn't notice. Imagine, you sit on a full pie and have no idea that that's happened to you.
Can I tell you about these kick-ass headphones I just got? Yeah. So you might not know this, but recently Earwolf has outfitted ourselves with Sennheiser headphones and microphones in the studio. The show sounds better because we are now fully Sennheisered. It's a great headphone. I can tell the difference. I've been here at Earwolf since we started out, and I think our headphones were like two cans that were put together. And now we have these nice, super professional headphones. And I want to talk to you about these ones that they sent us to try out. They are these sport headphones. They're their Sennheiser CX sport headphones, and they are basically made to move. You can take them wherever you want. They've nailed it with these Bluetooth headphones, okay? They are lightweight and sweat resistant. That's the best part, because when you're at the gym, you don't want to be like, oh, am I shorting out something because I'm sweating? You want to be able to work out hard, and these things are great because you're basically talking about people who have made professional headphones for their life, now giving it to you, the consumer, to use in your personal life. Look, they're German. We all know German engineering is the best. They give you amazing sound. And whether you have, tiny ears, big ears, they will fit in perfectly, okay? I'm telling you, I'm loving these Sennheisers. So throw away your old earbuds and get these new ones that you deserve. Go to Sennheiser, S-E-N-N-H-E-R. EISER.com. Enter the promo code BONKERS. It's BONKERS. BONKERS to get 20% off your Sennheiser headphones right now and sound like me or listen to me in a better way or Jason or June, whoever. Guys, gals, it's Obscure. You know, that's a brand new podcast that we have here. This is so much fun. Michael Ian Black, who I'm a huge fan of, has a brand new podcast. It's called Obscure, where he tackles a great work of literature that he's never read, and you probably haven't either. He's reading one of the most well-respected books ever written, Jude the Obscured, and he's commenting as he goes. Even though he didn't really want to do this in the beginning, he's reading it for you, and he has a lot of thoughts, and he's sharing it along the way. Join Michael Ian Black for one of the funniest shows out there. If you like Michael, you're going to love this. He has also famous friends, you know, some non-famous friends, on there to talk about it. David Cross is on, talking about his courtship story, and he had a conversation with Showalter about playing chess and achieving goals. I'm a fan. I'm always a fan. I love him on Twitter. I love him in life. I love him on this podcast. Subscribe to Obscure now on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's get into the audience, see what you have to say, things that we might have missed, things that you saw, things that you want to talk about. I'm going to come out here, raise your hand, and in your best opera voice, I'd like you to sing your name, just your name, and then ask our question. All right, I have this person dressed as a nun, all right. You don't have to come down right now. Where you go? Okay, yes. You could. All right. You want to show off your costume? You can get on stage. It's a
looks
nun.
Looks great.
Hi.
Looks great.
Paul, this is a child.
This is. It's a child.
There are kids in this audience.
Standing ovation. Standing ovation. How old are you?
I'm 9.
9 years old. You are in a nun's costume with a deflated tire around your neck.
Do you have any questions about what you've heard here tonight?
No.
No. The first person I've ever let touch the mic. Okay. Your name in the best opera voice you can do, and then your question. Amazing. Your question.
So first of all, you guys made it really hard for me to cosplay. I really wanted to come see a show here, and it was either this or the kid with the afro.
Yeah.
This kid's getting too many laughs. Paul, get him off stage. He's getting too many laughs. Paul, if you can hear me, get this kid off stage.
Yeah, we can't compete. Get him off.
Paul, this kid's killing. Get him out of here.
What's your question?
My question is...
Get out of here.
Do you think that he is actually secretly a supervillain and his power is that he can hypnotize people with his song? And if they make a sequel, then he will be hunting her down and exacting his revenge on her.
Wow. Come on down with me. Great.
Guys, no.
Amazing.
Guys.
Sit down.
Amazing question.
Guys, you can't just jump up for standing ovations. You'll dilute it.
All right.
Plus, what are we giving the kid? 2 standing ovations? The kid's 9 years old. The kid's going to think he's invincible.
He honestly will turn into a Giorgio. So let's be very careful.
Sir, get up here, sing your name in the best opera voice, and your question.
Nicholas.
Great.
That was very nice.
Do you want to stand and know that, guys? Oh, no? Oh, no? How's that feel, Nicholas?
I just wanted to mention, when he drives by the nuns, we find out later that he's a mechanic and didn't help change the car.
Wow.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes! Yes! By the way, great, great information. Still didn't trigger a standing O.
Didn't do it.
How does that make you feel? No. Sit down! You don't give yourself a standing O, you clown.
All right, sir, your name and your best opera voice and your question.
Joseph.
Um,
two things. First thing, at the in the first minute of the movie, well, after he sings Ave Maria in full, when he's going through the crowd, he puts a flower in between a woman's breasts. I just thought that was worth mentioning. Like, is that something in Italy? Do you do that all the time? I don't know.
Good question.
And is that something that's, like, encouraged, question mark? Slash allowed, question mark? Slash does anybody have any roses?
I'm going up to the first balcony.
Can you imagine?
Oh, boy.
How did you guys know you were in love? Well, he took
a flower. I've heard that the upper balcony is impossible to get to, so I may not make it up there unless someone can show me a shortcut. Come over here. All right.
I see.
I'm up here. I'm up in the corner
here. I see you.
I'm winded. Okay. Your name? Question.
Sarah!
Amazing.
That's a brave person. That's a very brave person, because that was terrible.
I didn't realize until you showed the trailer, it's rated PG. And I was just wondering if you think, you know, that was the 80s, if now it might get a different rating with all the adultery and affairs and food fight.
I mean, it's spoken about, but it's not shown, right?
Yeah, we don't see anything. There's no really even swear words in this movie, is
there? It's hard, though, because it is a violent film. It really is.
I would like to see Pavarotti curse. Ah, fuck you. Okay, ma'am, your name, your question, here we go.
No question.
Wait. Wait, but name. So excited to
Paul,
ask this question, but
away.
You gotta play the game here.
Walk
All right,
away,
here we go.
Walk away, Paul.
I should have known. She was jumping up and down. I took a chance. Here we go.
I don't like this.
Tiffany Lewis.
Perfect. Nailed it. Great. Your answer.
My answer is, since none of you losers like opera, you don't know that opera doesn't have good stories. It's just like crap in between songs. That's what this was.
There it is.
Are you mad we did this movie because you love opera? Tiffany Lewis, you are at the wrong show.
While this gentleman's coming over to me, house staff, I can't go up there, can I?
How did all those people get up there if you can't go up there?
I was told that it was very hard. Can I get
top
up
top balcony, what's up?
How hard could it be?
All right. Here we go. I'm coming.
Holy
I'm
shit.
Coming, balcony monsters.
All I'll right. be honest, the top balcony is topless. Nice.
All right. Sir, your name and opera and your question.
Dean.
All right.
It's a one note.
Yeah.
First of all, I was here for Jazz Singer. You also showed that to New York. Please, yes. Please stop showing the first films of musicians, please. Okay. Especially New York. But related to that is, you know, Jazz Singer and Yes, Giorgio were supposed to be the vehicles for...
a career.
Yeah, career for Pavarotti and for Neil Diamond to eventually jump into movies. What else were they supposed to do after this? Like Pavarotti and Die Hard? Like, where...
Well, I mean, like The Rock did that movie with Sean William Scott, and now he's, you know, fighting gorillas and stuff, you know?
Wait, Jazz Singer was Neil Diamond's talent. He was a singer. Like, this is Pavarotti's talent, a singer. What other movies were they going to make? What vehicles were they, where were they going to go from here?
Look, you get a talented person. How great would Die Hard and an opera be, you know? Your name and your question.
Brett.
Great.
My question is...
That sounded most like Giorgio. And I don't know if we're trying to do impressions, but...
It was very breathy.
I was doing my best Audrey McDonald, Queen of the Night. So my question is, why haven't you addressed any of the, like, anti-Asian sentiments in this movie? With the assistant and the... You addressed the mascara, but he is full on doing yellow face in that scene. And let's not forget
that. Wow. Wait, who is? The chef?
No.
No.
Pavarotti?
Oh.
I'm in the opera at the very end. He's in yellow face.
Well, look, I can't speak to opera. Maybe we should have.
So I did, by the way, I didn't give this movie a close look. I was in and I was out.
I also fast-forwarded all musical numbers.
So know that. But I did, as they were, I saw the dragon and I thought, oh, this is Asian inspired, and what is this? What is this story they're doing? And that's where my investigation stopped. So to be quite honest, I just thought he was in stage makeup.
Yeah.
Watching, I did not pick up on it.
Watching this movie felt like I felt like I was in an active blackout. You know, like time stopped making sense, and I like was nauseous, and I felt like things seemed crazy. I woke up mid, I don't know, this felt like a fever dream in a bad way.
All right, your name and opera and your question.
Maria!
Amazing. Your question.
Okay, so before I was a teacher, I was an EMT. I also had my tonsils taken out, but I did watch the movie on YouTube, so maybe it was the quality. But I was wondering if anyone else noticed that the kid that had his tonsils taken out came out of surgery with two black eyes.
What was she doing in there?
I think I know what happened. I think they elected to do a nose job as well while he was under.
Come here.
Yeah, you hear about
that. I'm passing you the mic. All right.
And when you get your when you get your tonsils out, that's an elective surgery, right?
Not elective.
What do you mean? No. What?
I thought it was something where...
You have two children.
I have no idea how to check on their tonsils. I thought it was something where it's like, I've got another sore throat, time to get my tonsils out. Is there something that happens that sends you into...
Yeah, tonsillitis.
Oh, tonsillitis. And what are the symptoms?
Wait, are you asking for a friend? Cut to you being like, I have to go. Our son needs to go to the hospital. What are the... Oh, next thing you're going to tell me is the symptoms are persistent sore throats and tonsil infections? Wait, that's true? Enlarged tonsils making swallowing... Wait, that's true as well? Consistent bouts of strep... Wait, that's part of it also?
Listen, growing up, it always seemed that some kids were getting their tonsils out, others weren't. Some were staying at home for 3 days eating ice cream, others weren't. And I always wondered, like, how do you know?
June, do you have tonsils?
I think I'm a good candidate to get my tonsils out.
Oh, so you're asking because you would like to elect to have your tonsils taken out.
Listen, I work so hard.
I would like it if you started saying, I've had a little work done. I got my tonsils taken out.
All right, we're going to go...
Last thing, Paul. Yes. It also seems like, is it only teenagers that get their tonsils out, or is it available to adults?
No, we know somebody who got their tonsils out last year.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Okay, it's a mystery. And if you're playing along at home and you do too, call 555-2436. Who got their tonsils out in the last year?
All right, final question for the top balcony. Ma'am, it all rests on you. Do you have a good question or a bad question? We will see. It can go either way here. All right, your name and opera and your question. Here we go.
Amelia.
Right.
And I have a simple question. Is this entire movie just a metaphor for erectile dysfunction?
Give us like a fact to back up that. So because he can't perform when he's nervous.
Seems like it's performance anxiety, and then he like finally meets this beautiful
woman. I don't know what you mean. Shut up. What does that even mean? What is even erectile dysfunction? Like, you say it like that's a thing, but like, what even is that?
I am coming down. That's why she did not respond. All
right. Yeah, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's
what
just
do you mean?
It happens.
Yeah, no, it's not, because it's like not even a thing.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Second opinions posted on Amazon. Asperger shut-ins, type you their feelings. Second opinions, Jeff Bezos owns us. I give it 5 stars on Amazon.
How you feeling, Opera?
Stay there.
How are you guys feeling?
That was amazing. If you want to hear the rest of the second opinion songs, you can listen to them at the end of the episode. They were all fantastic, and there was one that was mediocre. All right, people, let's get into it. 5-star reviews from Amazon. These are cold from Amazon.com. Oh, boy, they are good, too. All right, this one, we start off a little bit slow here, and this is by Georgia L. Knighton. It was written...
Yes, Georgia.
Yes. And she writes, Pavarotti's only movie, it's a must-watch. And I pointed out for this weird section of people that she thinks this movie is for. It says this, I bought this movie on VHS. A friend's mother borrowed it and never returned. My kids' friends would come over and want to watch this with me. It is a good movie. It is a must-see for people and for kids. 5 stars. So it's a kids' movie.
For people and kids.
This one throws a little bit of shade at Pavarotti. It's written by Linda Buteron, and she writes this. I bought this movie because I love the YouTube video of Pavarotti singing so much. And I wanted to know what the background was between him and Catherine Harold in this movie. I mean, the movie was cute, but Pavarotti could have done a lot better at being a lover, since he was a womanizer in real life. He should have had a lot of experience being a lover in the movie.
Oh.
5 stars.
Oh, okay. So that was more of an indictment of him than her.
Yes.
It was saying, the way you paused after he could have done a lot better made it sound like than her, but instead it was than he was being.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then we go to this by a Kindle customer written back in 2015.
Brag.
It says, even better 30 years later. I fell in love with this movie and the man just as I hit puberty. When I was a little older...
Can you imagine?
I mean,
can you imagine?
What is this person's life?
Honestly, if Pavarotti is a part of your sexual awakening,
if for you, formative years were spent masturbating to Pavarotti, what's up now?
This goes deep, everybody. So buckle up. When I was a little older, haunted.
You know
by
what?
The...
We can bring the house lights down a little if people want to jerk off to this one. Balcony's already done. Top balcony is legit asleep because they came already.
When I was a little older, I was haunted by the tenor's rendition of If We Were in Love. I tried to find my own copy, but couldn't. At first, no one was selling it on VHS or DVD. And then the only versions available were from overseas and too pricey. I might have bought one of those copies, but I couldn't be sure if it was going to be worth the cost. No one was selling the CD featuring Pavarotti singing the song either. Frustrated, I purchased a compilation disc that featured John Williams' instrumental of the song. Absolutely beautiful and worth finding and buying. One late night about 15 years ago while doing a random Hail Mary search on Amazon, I found an original poster announcing the release of the film and bought it from a seller in Australia. That was nice. It had it framed and hung over in my bathroom.
Wait, what?
I had it framed and hung it in my bathroom, but I still longed for the film. For the love story that seems so tragic and hopeless at 14, for that final scene where Pamela leaves him at the climax of Nessium Dorma and he weeps. Whew, good stuff. And then, while doing another random, seemingly futile search on Amazon, the video popped up. It was like a choir from above singing the most exquisite note and childhood Christmas converging simultaneously. I screamed. I did a quick dance and clicked on the purchase button. It came to my doorstep quick. I waited till I could watch it late night alone in my living room.
This is honestly porno. I am hard.
Dear Amazon form, the decades of waiting was worth it. In fact, now that I'm all grown up, the story has a meaning and poignancy that my 14-year-old heart and inexperience had not grasped. Every song is as amazing as the first time. The tenor was not going to get an Oscar for his efforts. But I'd like to think...
No.
But I'd like to think he had a ball making the feature. His first, I think. 5 stars.
By the way, for someone who's doing so many searches and Amazon searches, I can't believe she doesn't know that that was his first and only feature.
I know. Didn't check IMDb.
Still living in that question.
And then we'll end on this one that gets a little angry. It's titled My Opera Hero. Why was Pavarotti smeared by the press back then for his acting? Jealousy. Plain and simple. Plus, opera has never been the lamestream media's favorite type of music. They have no taste. Oh, the Pav is the greatest since Caruso. Even Geely wasn't as good as Pav. Yes, Giorgio, as a great movie in its day, I bought a copy from my library. Yes, I did. And I am not sorry. I will watch it over and over. Sigh. I love you, Luciano Pavarotti. I always will. 5 stars.
Wow. These are wild. This is nuts.
Couple of facts about this movie. We said it was written by the co-writer of Blazing Saddles, my favorite year, Johnny Dangerously, but it was directed by Franklin J. Schaffner, who directed Planet of the Apes, Patton, Papillon, The Boys from Brazil, Lionheart, and Welcome Home. Pretty crazy credits there. The film came out in 1982. It grossed $2.2 million on a $19 million budget.
Now, Paul, can you just quick crunch those numbers? Is that a good opening?
Well, that's the gross. The opening was $518,000. That was the opening weekend. It came in 111th place out of all the films made in 1982. It was beaten by films like E.T., Tootsie, and An Officer and a Gentleman. And it was beaten by Grease 2, Halloween 3, The Season of the Witch. And it beat nothing that we did on the show. And the tagline for this movie was a glorious, uproarious love story. That was that. And it was nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song. And the director was so shattered by his experience, he did not direct a movie for 5 years after this film. So that's that. Now the question is, Jason, do you recommend this movie?
No. No, this movie was like really tough. This took me so long to get through. I really was like, it's joyless, you know? Well, it's a bummer.
I will say, though, if you want to indulge the pain is pleasure principle, you can definitely look on our Twitter page and follow 2 times the crazy, Peter the S-Man Scudacy, who cut it down by over 40 minutes.
So if you're going to, like, listen to this episode and you want to, like, get some working knowledge of it, sure, but, like, fast forward. It's long and it's impenetrable. It's, like, really, it's a bummer.
June Diane Raphael.
Yeah, I feel like if you've listened this far into this episode, you've seen it. You've seen it. You're done.
Can't say it any better than that. I had high hopes for this movie.
You did?
Yes.
You did?
I believe in the power of song over everything. And once again, just like from Justin to Kelly, I was shown that I am an idiot. A fucking dumb idiot. Neil Diamond should have shown me the way when I watch a jazz singer. But I'm gonna say I think you should watch it. If only that we can share a glance with each other and know that we both were there.
Oh, see, that's where you and I are different. Don't glance at me. Don't share a glance. Don't send a glance. No glances. Thank you.
All right. Well, that is Yes, Giorgio. And now ooh. I say to Jason and June, what do you want to plug?
What month do you think it is?
I think it's late summer.
Okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, all right. June?
Yeah, me too. I'm fine.
You're fine. I will plug that I have another podcast called Unspooled, where we actually watch good movies.
How
check
nice.
Check that out. I'm having a ball just watching the classics of cinema.
Yeah, it must be real
must
nice.
Be real great.
Feeling refreshed, invigorated, and vitalized every time. Yeah, yeah, really, really great.
What a nice way to spend your off hours away from working and parenting. That must be really, really nice.
A big thank you to Nate Kiley, does all of our research, Averill Halley, who pulls all these amazing clips, and Kelly Alto for pulling this whole thing together. Thank you for coming.
How are you feeling right now?
Now it's time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions. Holy shit, that movie sucked. But I thought that this flick was awesome. So great, I had to write a review. A review so bonkers that it's brilliant. So brilliant that it's a great piece
time's
of
up.
Art. Second Opinions.
Give it up for Trevor. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Some people say this movie ain't very good, but I just think it's misunderstood, and picked upon a plot that's good and a cast that's strong. You watch it 16 times, what do you get? Broke your VCR, so you bought a new set. Paul, Jason, and June, I thought you knew I'd give this movie a 5-star review.
Yeah! Yeah. Camila, give it up for Camila!
Fantastic. They're all running about 30 seconds long.
It is now time for Second Opinions.
You get 5 stars. Second Opinions. Yeah!
I like that one. I liked it.
Give it up for Paul. Love Paul because he's brief. All right, here we go. It is now time for Second Opinions.
5 stars. Yes, Giorgio, 5 stars. I may not write in full sentences. My second opinion is from Mars. Oh, yeah, yeah. Black eyes, lifeless eyes like a dog. Stalk and capture is our lead's advice. I guess this film deserves 5 stars.
Give it up for Lee Goldstein and her amazing shirt and song. Come on over here.
You guys know you're not going to get on American Idol, right?
Yeah, have we been clear on like what
this
everybody gets, which is
not an American Idol
nothing?
Audition.
It is now time for Second Opinions.
The sexism, the racism, the plot is thin, but Pavarotti's thick. This movie's trash. I'll give you
It is now time for second opinions.
I gotta let the people know just what a masterpiece this is. Logging on Amazon. What should I rate this? 5 stars from a dum-dum. But it's not a Jacob's Ladder.
Give it up for Brendan. It is now time for second opinions.
You saw a movie and it sucked. With movies like this, you don't fuck. But someone out there loves this Taste Black Hole. You must know why, so you log on to Amazon for a second opinion.
Give it up for Patrick. It is now time for second opinions.
Giorgio, I think your wife and your children are calling on the phone. Seems like you found a hot new blondie. She's a doc who likes to bone. You cried out, passione. You were such a peacock's ass. I'm rating this flick 5 stars, oh, 5 stars.
Give it up for Baker. Wait, you guys hold, Are you all together?
This is
together.
Getting out of control.
I know, we got three more.
What I'm trying to figure out is, does our audience have a lot of opera singers as fans? Or did you guys hear we were doing this movie and so showed up?
That's a great question. I do feel like my opinion on opera is changing.
It is now time for second opinions.
Your movie sucks, but you don't have a frickin' clue. But fortunately for you, some other cocks too. The Shuttons post their praise on Amazon. Paul and June and Jason and their friends will read them all. I say, second opinions. They were apeshit, no holds barred. Second opinions. All these movies are bizarre. Second opinions. Do they all deserve 5 stars?
Guys,
give it up for Neil.
Guys, don't encourage everybody. Don't participate with the claps of the Friends song.
All right.
Oh, careful, Paul. This guy's going to put that flower between your boobs. Careful, Paul.
All right. And again, the standing rule of the show, do not touch Jason. Okay, so here we go. It is now time for second opinions. I'm going to mic you there, and you'll hold the mic. It is now time for second opinions.
She is a doctor, not a nurse. She's going to make you wear a skirt, though we found offense to this man's dominions. We're open to second opinion.
Give it up for Adam and Dylan.
Wow.
Can I ask you a question before you guys do your thing? Are you from the balcony? Second balcony or first balcony? Because you brought your purse. She's like, we gotta go down
not
there.
Leaving
but make
it on
sure
the
you
seat.
Grab my purse. I will not yeah. leave it up here.
All right.
Because one of you fucking monsters will take a shit in it. Oh, that girl went down to sing. Did she leave her purse? Let's dump in it. We're the balcony monsters. All we do is dumping stuff.
It is now time for second. Okay, ready here. I'll give you two. Okay, here you go. It is now time for second opinion.
If you have.
Go ahead.
If you have. Clean take.
If you have questionable taste, and if that film you do embrace, leave a review on Amazon.com. Write on, you big moron.
Spencer and Nate, give it up, fantastic. Thank you, Laura, Spencer, and Nate.
Come on, what are we doing, guys?
All right.
I had this book, like, laughing at me from my bookshelf. Oh, smart boy, you can't read me. Well, I can read you, Jude the Obscure. I'm Michael Ian Black, and this is Obscure, in which I read Jude the Obscure out loud and comment on it as I go. There must be literally tens of people who will go with me on this journey. Subscribe to Obscure wherever you listen.